You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade, and nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game is very important, Millie's.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your regular routine. Monday through Friday, we're here for you even after that shit show in Toronto, which was horribly disappointing, but we're here. Whatever it is that you're doing in the car, try not to drive off the road as we talk about this crap. We're the Rain and Jays, John Corrales, Sam Jam Packard, my post-game partner. 111-91, and damn it, it wasn't even that close tonight. The Celtics just didn't look like they were interested in most of this game. Everything felt a step slow. Nothing looked crisp. Meanwhile, the Raptors were out there like this was the conference finals. They looked great. Everybody was playing hard. Their bench was awesome. Guys like Fred VanVleet were just killing us. You know, I mean, just all of the things I was so looking forward to in this game. I was really looking forward to a high quality matchup, almost like the Warriors game, and got the complete opposite. We got one team that was looking to prove a point and another team that didn't even want to be there.
Yeah, it was shit. It was bad. nothing good. I mean, I thought the Celtics, it was all their offense. Their offense couldn't do anything this entire night. Kyrie had his moments, but he only had 12 shots tonight. I don't know if it's like him coming back from an injury. He wasn't as aggressive. I thought the Raptors' strategy of just trying to deny Al Horford the ball, was a great one, and it paid off well for them. Just, he's clearly been the main facilitator for the past three games, and they were not going to let him do that. I thought that was a very good decision. Really, the Celtics, I don't think they were terrible on defense. They had a pretty good first and third quarter. It's just that kind of that crazy run by the Raptors' second unit in the second quarter was insane. Like, they just didn't miss any shots. They went 12 for 16 from the field in the first half, the Raptors' bench did, and outscored the Celtics 30 to 15. And, like, after that, the Celtics has had zero. They just never made a run. And so that's what kind of made this night different from other Celtics games, is that they just never were able to kind of make that run to get to make that comeback. And that's just because the Raptors played solid basketball for the entire game. It's one of those nights where it's just like, yeah, you say that the Celtics couldn't hit shots, but they didn't even like create a lot of open looks for themselves. I don't know what the issue is, if they were so kind of confused with Al Horford being denied the ball, but it just really felt like the Raptors did a damn good job on defense, rotating to open guys, not letting people drive to the paint. It was just a shit performance from the Celtics offense the entire night. And you know, that happens. Sometimes, I don't know.
Sometimes that happens. Hey, by the way, we're brought to you tonight by Draft. Tomorrow's a Draft Wednesday, so Jam and I are going to be jamming out on draft.com or the Draft app, and we'll give you the promo code again in a little bit. You come try and take our money. Boy, I felt like the Celtics got their lunch money taken tonight. I agree. Look, the Raptors did have a great game plan when it came to Al Horford. I thought Marcus Morris really, really tried hard to get back into the swing of things, and part of, and I don't want to single guys out, because I'll just say basically everybody sucked. And Jaylen Brown is the only one who shot particularly well. He was 4 or 5, but he seemed hobbled. He hit his that floater early on, but he landed on Aaron Baines' foot, turned his left ankle, and he just never looked the same after that. Kyrie Irving, like you said, he shot 50%. Everyone else sucked. Like, everything sucked for the most part. But they took Al Horford out of the game early, And I think Al Horford must have just said, well, if we're going to play 4-on-4, that's fine. Then I'll just kind of be back here and I'll facilitate a little bit and swing the ball from side to side. But I think in those situations, and teams may look at this as a blueprint, Al and the Celtics need to be more aggressive in getting Al. They just got to figure out ways to screens, find ways to get switches, either get he was guarded a lot by Ibaka. So you find a way to get Ibaka to switch off of him, or you take advantage of the fact that he won't switch off of them. And then when it came to the bench, I thought Marcus Morris was looking for his shot a lot, like really, really more so than Marcus Morris usually does. And I think that hurt a lot. That second unit, the continuity just wasn't there, and they couldn't score. And when the Raptors,
I can't even blame Marcus Morris for taking those shots, because if you look at the players who are also on the court with him, Shemmy, Tice, Nader, little Gershon. I mean, Tito had 12 shots. He was actually creating some open looks. He just didn't happen to knock down most of them tonight. But I mean, I don't know what else you're going to do on the second unit offense, because Marcus, ISO Mook is pretty much the go-to, the most likely to get you points at this point.
I know. I just felt like a little too much. I should say, when I'm talking about the few good things that happened, Terry Rozier did shoot 4 or 5 from 3. He didn't shoot great from the field. He was 1 of 7 from 2, but 4 or 5 from 3. Did lead the Celtics with 18 points, and 4 assists was a team high too, so Not in the grand scheme of things, still is a good game, I guess, statistically. I think he was, I don't know, it's hard to get these individuals. Like you said with Marcus Morris, some of the things that I want to say about these guys, I feel like some of these guys did a little bit too much. They tried to do a little bit too much. But in those situations when the team is struggling, I almost can't blame guys for falling into that habit of saying, all right, fine, I'm going to do this myself. Unfortunately, what happens is when guys try to do too much on their own, it does take away from everybody else. And the way you come back, the way the Celtics have come back from all of this has always been good defense and working the ball around and getting the ball to an open guy for a catch and shoot 3 or something in transition. And we saw that sporadically, but nothing sustained. And so I know that the habit tends to be this: we seem flat. I'm good at offense. I'm going to go do something good. But that just takes out the rest of the team. And just it's too many guys with single-digit shots. Tatum, 9 shots. Al Horford, 5 shots. Jaylen Brown, 5 shots. It's not good enough. Definitely just not good enough at all. And they only hit 40%, but still not good enough.
Yeah, this was Tatum's I think official worst game, worst stat line. He really didn't do anything tonight, and he missed some layups. That's when you know the Celtics are doing terribly, is when they just miss layup after layup after layup. This new look Raptors with this crazy bench unit, they thoroughly impressed me tonight, and they were just playing good basketball for the entire 48 minutes. Kyle Lowry, I feel like I just don't watch him enough, because he dominated the entire game, just doing Kyle Lowry things. 6 of 11 from 3. It felt like he had his way on every single pick and roll he was involved with. Only ended up with 4 assists, which just seems like a low number to me. But it's just, I don't know. I was very impressed with Lowry, DeLon Wright. CJ Miles has always been just a killer and a guy who can make shots. The team, the Raptors are now so much deeper just with these young players. I don't know. I was impressed tonight by them. I definitely think the Celtics can counter and will give them a better game, but it was just very good, it was impressive to see them play and just never let up, never let the Celtics cut the lead to 10 or even cut the lead to 15. And I think the Celtics really missed Marcus Smart tonight. He's just a guy who could give them more energy, more lift on the defensive end, someone to play against the Raptors guards. I think not having any guards outside Rozier and Kyrie, I don't think 100% Kyrie Irving really hurt the Celtics tonight. And it just ends up with more minutes for people like Semi, Nader, It's just guys who some people would say they deserve to be on the boat, but ideally you just don't want to give people like that. You don't want to give Abdel Nader 14 minutes and Semi, like, probably shouldn't be playing 20 minutes in this game. It's like Marcus Smart is a very competent basketball player who generally impacts the game in a winning way. And I think the Celtics would rather have him playing right now. I love
the shade you just threw at Jay King.
Oh, he deserves it. That was an absurd call. Still upset about it. But the Raptors, of actually good.
Yes.
Marcus Smart, also good at basketball.
Well,
Brad Stevens should be mad. Sorry, he just popped up on my screen, and I was needed a third thing for my trilogy.
It's got to be threes. To hear some people take it, and I don't want to overreact to a few crazy people on Twitter, but there are people who would sit there and say that this shows the Celtics need to get bench help and this shows that you should move Smart for bench help, which no, I think I'll go back to the point I was making in the last show that you need Marcus Smart and more bench help. Like Marcus Smart tonight could have helped at least stop some of that run. You know, maybe stem the tide a little bit, maybe get into Fred Van Vliet and bother him just a smidge. And then you maybe throw Tyreke Evans out there or whatever and have him be a more of a scorer. I just don't see this as evidence that the Celtics need to move Smart for something. It is evidence that the Celtics could use some help, but also the Celtics, even after this, are still number one in the East. So this team, as currently constituted, has done plenty, and they're not desperate for help. They're not the Cavaliers who, holy shit, if you didn't notice, had a huge lead on Orlando and then blew it all and got blown out in a wild swing. They're not desperate for help like a team like Cleveland is.
And help is on the way.
And Greg Monroe, who may be in uniform on Wednesday or definitely Thursday night. They play Thursday. So in uniform Thursday and then at the very least Friday night. So got my days mixed up there. So he's coming. And of course there's Gordon Hayward who will be in time for the conference finals. another thing I've been getting and people love to hop out of the woodwork when Al Horford doesn't have a good game. And maybe it's only a select few people, but the people who do not like Al Horford really like to pounce on games like this and just shit on Al Horford specifically. Like in a game where, yeah, Al Horford had a bad game, not a good game at all, but everybody basically had a bad game. And people just love to say, well, Al Horford makes a lot of money, so he's going to get it. And it blows my mind. And anytime I hear that, it just tells me you really just don't know what the hell you're talking about. You don't know basketball. And if you're going to sit there and just single out Al Horford every time he has a bad game, then you're just waiting. You're just like waiting to pounce on every Al Horford bad game.
It's almost like they have their agenda already fixed and that no new facts will change that.
The game after he just won it on a buzzer beat.
Yeah, for all the things, like after him, probably is like three of his really best games as Celtics, just when he was basically led the team to three victories. It just doesn't make sense. I was actually kind of proud of Celtics Twitter tonight. I felt like a lot of people were generally reasonable and say, this happens. We'll move on to the next one. Sometimes you just don't have it.
Yep.
There is very minimal overreactions. Of course, you're going to have some because this is Twitter and people need some sort of outlet to be mad online. But
yep.
I don't know. I thought Celtics Twitter as a general response handled this quite well.
It really is. Like, there's just it does happen. And you don't want to minimize completely. But like sometimes it just does happen. Like you come out. And you don't have it. I've been out there where like, you don't intend for it to happen. For some reason, I felt in warm-ups before in my life, like, this isn't going well at all. Like, there's no energy. For some reason, you just don't have any. The Celtics looked like they were sleepwalking. a lot of passes, guys weren't catching them cleanly. They weren't
shitty turnovers galore.
Oh God, it was just gross. Everything was gross. I don't know why. You can blame it on a million things. They had the hangover from the win. There was no real reason for it. It's just, and I don't want to, because there's no analysis in this determination. But sometimes it happens, and you just hope that it doesn't happen very often. And really, honestly, it hasn't happened like this for a full 48 like it did for the Celtics tonight. So sometimes you just got to chalk it up. They've got a couple of big games coming up. The Wizards, you know, they've got the Cavs. They got the Pierce retirement game. They've got tough games coming up this week. And you can't dwell on this. You just got to try to learn. And every time I've seen the Celtics play with energy, they've played very, very well. And they need to play with that energy, because if they don't, they look sluggish and they get crushed like this. I'll tell you what, you're not going to get crushed if you're playing draft and you're playing.
Not against us.
Not against us. You know, there's not a lot of pros out there. In fact, I got to say, I get people every day inviting me, probably like two or three invitations to drafts every day, because I really feel like they're trying to take my money. I feel like they see, I think they see me as an ATM. Because I haven't won a draft, I think, since December. And I just can't afford to keep giving it all away. So I'm not telling you don't invite me. I'll hop in every once in a while. But, man, my record is so poor. Like, I feel like people, like, I'm like a slump buster. People are trying to get their stats up on me. But, look, we're here. We're playing. I'll be playing you on Wednesday. Sam will be playing you on Wednesday because Draft is the best daily fantasy out there. There are no pros out there. There's no algorithms. There's no nothing. It's just me, Sam, and more than a million other people who've downloaded Draft and are playing. And it's very simple. You join the draft. You get it done. It lasts like 5 minutes, and it's a snake draft. So if somebody picks Kyrie Irving, Kyrie's off the table. You've got to get in there and find somebody else. And it can be tough. It's fast. You get like 30 seconds to make your pick, and which was what makes it fun. So get in on the fun. Drafts are filling up like every second. You can join basically whenever you want, and you can get paid out very fast. And on top of that, every new player gets free entry into a real money draft. Use the promo code LO Celtics, LO Celtics, and you get into a real money draft for free with your first deposit. LO Celtics, they are so sure you're going to love this, they're offering Locked On Celtics listeners a money-back guarantee of up to $100. Search for Draft in your app store. Go to draft.com. Play for free right now with the promo code LO Celtics. I guess we might as well hit Twitter, because there's nothing else.
That's what we do.
That's what we do. Let's get to the tweets. Hashtag Rain and Jays right up off the bat. At from Boston to 18. Are you happy with the signing of Hayward, or would you have rather had Griffin? With the trade rumors last year, how would you have felt about getting PG-13 or Jimmy Butler?
I think this is like an absurd question. We've seen 6 minutes of Gordon Hayward. I have no idea.
I think Hayward ultimately is going to work out just fine. Right now it would have been great to have somebody who wouldn't be injured, but you just don't know. It's hard to say, because Blake Griffin, a guy who's often hurt,
he could have broken his leg in a freak accident too.
Could have gotten hurt. I mean, there's no guarantee. Jimmy Butler is doing great for Minnesota, and people have been talking about him as a dark horse MVP candidate. I definitely see that. Paul George has, you know, found a nice groove in Oklahoma City, but you just don't know how certain guys would have fit. And I would assume Brad Stevens and these guys, Al Horford, Kyrie Irving, would have worked with these guys, and things would have worked out fine. But I do like Gordon Hayward's fit here, and it's unfortunate that you've wasted 1 year of a max contract with a guy on the shelf, but it's a freak injury, and look, I'll just take it. There's no there's no dwelling on it. And I know this is sports conversation, and this is part of the fun. You go back and you try to revise things and redraft drafts and stuff like that. But this is done. What's done is done, and I'm happy with Hayward. And I'm going to assume moving forward that he will be a very huge piece of a legitimate championship contender.
He's like the prototypical, like if Brad Stevens could design a player, it would be a 6'8 wing who's pretty good at everything and can shoot.
Yeah.
Like if who can switch on everything, is a very like a plus defender, can play make and can shoot and just does everything the right way. And just I'm plenty happy with the Gordon Hayward injury, I guess I would say. Not injury. Whoa, that's a wild thing to say. The Gordon Hayward signing. Oh, man. Bad game for all of us.
Yeah. We're all struggling a little bit. At Jovian Shadow, shout out to him. Chuck this up as, quote, one of those losses. Ugly, ugly, ugly game indeed. At Ballin' Opinions, this game is an indication that the Celtics need a bit more help. Tyreek Williams? Yeah. It's something we've just talked about. It'd be nice. It'd be nice to have a little extra help. I want to see what Greg Monroe can do for the Celtics. I really think that Greg Monroe can help a lot. You know, this Celtics team, when they get, like I was saying before, when they hold the ball and get a little too ISO, you get a guy like Monroe in the post and you throw him the ball and he forces a double team. I think that his passing might be an underrated element to why he was acquired. And if he's going to require a double team on the post, he's just going to. And the Celtics are good enough at moving without the ball that I think they can maximize his passing ability. That's going to really open things up, because a lot of times that second unit needs help finding its shots, and just getting the ball deep into the paint and forcing the defense to move and double down on him is just going to get guys open. They can spring free, cut back door, they get the defense into rotation, then you can kick the ball back out, swing it to the other side, and you're going to get a lot of open shots that way. So it's not just going to be Monroe's his shooting or his scoring in the block or even his rebounding, his offensive rebounding. It's just going to be the attention that he draws that's going to open things up for the Celtics. So I'm excited for that. So that alone, I think, could be enough to help and may minimize the need for a Tyreek Evans or a Lou Williams. But still, at this point, by the time you're listening to this, somewhere around 24 to 48 hours or 36 hours to the trade deadline, I wouldn't put it past Danny Ainge to get another guy. So
you can't be shocked by anything that the Celtics do. They could trade for Anthony Davis, and it wouldn't be like the most surprising thing in the world. The one thing I want to say about Monroe is I really like him as the guy coming off the bench, attacking second units of other teams, because there's just not a lot of big dudes in this league. And so if a team has an elite center, he's probably going to be a starter or even just like a good, pretty big guy. I like the idea of Monroe coming in and like playing against the Jakob Poeltl's of the world. That guy is just like a wet towel. He's a tiny boy. And I feel like Greg Monroe can really punish kind of second unit centers who are mostly like, it feels like fours right at this point, or stretch fours. So I do think he's going to add a dynamic element to this team, and I think he's going to end up on the bench. It's going to be interesting to see what Aaron Baines' role is moving forward. I know he's been statistically one of the better defenders on the Celtics, but I just don't know how long they can like really keep him in the on offense just because he isn't providing much. So I'm up for it. I'm part of the hashtag start Tice movement. I think I don't know. I'm just a huge Daniel Tice fan. I feel like that's become abundantly clear recently. I don't have the best reason. I just think the Celtics are a little bit better when they are able to go a little bit smaller and play five out. But I think we're going to see Greg Monroe coming off the bench, and I think that's kind of the best role for him.
Yeah, I agree. I think that'll probably be how it goes, which would be interesting, because I wonder if that means that Marcus Morris goes into the starting lineup, or do they play Marcus Morris off the bench? And then what happens with Aaron Baines? So we'll see. There's plenty of time to figure that out, but there'll be some interesting rotations for Brad Stevens to tinker with. At Awfully Wilfred, I think Kyrie holds the ball a little too long. He can score, but makes it easier for the other team to shut down the other four players on the court when we don't have crisp ball movement. It goes along with what I've been saying. And I don't think that's a big problem for Kyrie this entire season. I think he gets into some bad habits, and sometimes he does that, and it becomes a problem. But at the same time, sometimes he holds the ball a little too long, and yeah, the other guys are standing around, then Kyrie does something absolutely amazing, and you're like, oh, okay. You know, so yeah, I get what you're saying, and if Kyrie's not on, then yeah, that could be a little bit of an issue, but I don't think that's a major problem here.
No, it's just Kyrie clearly wasn't the best version of Kyrie tonight, but you're right. I think ball movement is a bigger issue in that. Yeah, I agree. I concur.
Okay. and let's see. There was one here. Speaking of boats, after this game, I guess he was speaking of boats at Justin GMU Hokie. Speaking of boats after this game, Baines' big Australian boat better be ghost shipping after tonight. Yeah, everybody off the boat. After this game, we should do that. Like, after giving the boat, like, just go up with, like, a police boat, say, everybody off the boat, just, and let it, we'll get it tomorrow. Wherever it ends up, we'll get it tomorrow.
It's been impounded. Yeah. No more, no one gets to ride the boat.
No more boat riding until next week. I like that idea. Just everybody, just bring it back in. Harbor Master, bring it in. And at Skropberg, hot take alert, you will have a hard time winning if you make no shots and the opposition makes every shot.
That's he's Skropberg's always on point.
Yeah, that's analysis for you. That brings us to the wise man. Rain and junk hashtag. Addie Shep, Celtics could use a player who impacts winning.
On the same page with you, Addie. Marcus Smart. I think they could use his energy. It's his craziness.
At Touche Bagouche, Scal talking about his son loves the arrow dab is the bright spot of this fourth quarter. I'll be honest, I missed that. I kind of tuned out a little bit when the game was out of reach. I was like making myself some tea.
Scal was just looking for something to talk about, and you know what? He's like, I'm not surprised. Everyone loves the arrow dab. It's a sensation taking over the city.
It's fun.
It's fantastic. It's wonderful.
I'm not even into dabbing, but the arrow dab is fun. I'll make an exception for the arrow dab.
I'm into both dabbing and Yabu, so it's a perfect storm of great things.
It's almost too much. It's almost too much, but that's okay. We'll let it go. We'll let it go. Skropberg again. Twitter is full of wild overreactions right now, but here's an updated pic of Yabu to make the night better, and he drew a nice little green headband on a dancing bear. Yeah, Yabu kind of surprised me with the green headband out there.
Yeah, looking sleek. I was a big fan of any accessory Yabu wants to throw out there. I'm for it. He could go with a cool earring, maybe an eye patch, maybe a peg leg. Basically, I just want Yabu to be a pirate. Yeah, I'm all for it. We got to look for lone bright spots in today's game, and Yabu headband was definitely a good look. Although, this, I guess, will transition right into Rain and Junk. My first note is that the white uniforms with the green leggings, I don't know why I was taken aback by it tonight. Yeah. Normally, I'm not a big uniform guy, but with everyone wearing green leggings, I just thought it looked a little weird.
It did look a little weird. It felt a little bit like D being Desert Rose when Ben came back from overseas in Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Anybody? Anyone?
I mean, I remember that episode, but I don't know the reference you're going for.
Okay, so in Always Sunny, when this is the gang wrestles for the troops, and Ben the Soldier is the first appearance of Ben the Soldier, and she is Desert Rose online. She's communicating with him online, and she goes to meet him at the bus stop. She's like, I'm doing a whole Rose thing. She was dressed like in a red dress with green leggings. That's the stem. She's I'm going to play Kiss from a Rose by Seal. I'm holding a rose. Like, that's the whole thing. That's a very long way for me to go explaining a joke just to make the reference.
Yeah, what's that got to do with the uniforms?
Because they were wearing green leggings.
They looked like a rose. Yeah, okay.
I'm going to tweet that out. I'm going to get retweets while you're finishing your junk drawer.
I would hope so. Next up in the junk drawer, President's Day, fake holiday. Not for it. Anti-President's Day. We need to go back to Lincoln's birthday and Washington's birthday. Ty Lue randomly left the game with a sickness, and it was kind of unclear why. Apparently he has a sickness, but I thought the Cavs were like mid-mutiny during halftime, and I thought that would have been cool. But really, they're just in a terrible, terrible, terrible meltdown to the Orlando Magic, which is hilarious. We got to pull out good things from the night. Jay King getting roasted on Twitter for his haircut is fantastic. They said Chris Mannix said he looked like Dawson from Dawson's Creek. That's fun.
I felt like you made a joke about me there that I didn't get.
I said if Jay King is Dawson, then that would make you Pacey, which is the other character from the show Dawson's Creek.
Okay.
You'd have to be a
very
good fan
of that. I didn't understand that joke.
Aaron Baines got hurt. I didn't think that was possible. It didn't really make a lot of sense to me, but it was shocking to see him leave the game. I just have a note here. Mike Gorman really knows how to sell a joke from Scal. I don't know what the joke was, but I'm sure Mike Gorman gave him a good laugh. That's what you need. You need to sell the other person's jokes. That's the key to good podcasting. See?
Yes.
Nailed it.
Yes.
Everyone's having a good time now. Speaking of a good time, I hope everyone saw the Greek Freak jump over Tim Hardaway.
Holy shit. That was amazing. Like, unreal. I'm completely in awe. See, I couldn't believe it. Like, he did it so effortlessly. It was crazy.
That guy is 6'6 or 6'8. Like, that's not something you should just be able to do. It would just made, I don't think I've ever seen that before.
No.
Like, in an alley-oop form? It just doesn't make any goddamn sense.
I mean, you have the Vince Carter over Frederick Weiss, but, I mean, that was its own thing, and more impressive because Weiss is a 7-footer, but still, like, he didn't have time to, like, gather and say, okay, I'm going to just jump over the... He just... In an alley-oop, didn't even realize that Tim Hardaway Jr. was there. Just jumped and cleared him. Just cleared him. Like, what?
It's awesome. The Greek Freak keeps on being Greek Freaky, and it's just, it was damn cool. Speaking of other highlights, Spencer Dinwiddie hit like a 35-foot three today, and I'm always just, I don't know why I'm a big Spencer Dinwiddie fan, but he hit a cool one too. And that's literally... I stopped taking notes in the mid of the third quarter. It was frustrating. My attention to junk just didn't feel it. I wasn't inspired.
Look, when the team has no energy, you start like really in the third quarter. I was like, okay, this is just not going to go well, and you just that's it. There's no more analysis that can be had here than this. Like I think, and we've squeezed a half hour show out of this, which is. Just amazing to me. It's a big shit show and whatever. What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Keep on trucking.
That's
move on to the next day. Don't focus on the result and the thing about the Kaizen philosophy is that both the result and the process were shitty tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. Tonight was very not Kaizen. Whatever. I guess that means anything.
No, it made sense.
Yeah, sure. Next game is Thursday night. Thursday night, Celtics at Wizards. And a little bit of redemption. It'd be nice to go out and because that's a national televised game Thursday night, and they need to get that one back. It's front end of a back-to-back. They got the Pacers on Friday, and then the big game Sunday, the Cavaliers on Paul Pierce retirement night. So hopefully they can get back on track. Good news is Celtics still in first place, even after all of this. We will be back tomorrow. Tomorrow is going to be the Thursday show. And then hopefully we're going to have like trade talk. We'll see what goes on with that. In the meantime, subscribe to the show. If you haven't already, you know where to find us. Wherever you find your podcast, search Locked On Celtics. Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes. We're all there. If you are a subscriber, leave us a rating, give us 5 stars, and tell people, share the podcast. This is what the biggest thing, above all else, share the podcast and tell all of your Celtics fan friends that you enjoy listening to us, the Rain and Jays, and you enjoy it so much that you have to spread the word and tell people to listen to us, the Locked On Celtics podcast. We're here on the Locked On Podcast Network.